Welcome to Pickle Me This, the officially unofficial podcast for Rick and Morty on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we're covering Season 3, Episode 8, Morty's Mind Blowers. Here's Aaron with the recap.
Morty has seen some shit in his adventures with Rick. Seen some shit he doesn't ever want to remember seeing. Fortunately, Rick has a solution to periodically wipe Morty's memories. But who gets to choose what memories Morty keeps and what gets blown away? As Morty relives the various mind blowers, he immediately has doubts that Rick is acting in his best interest. It's a clip show, but with clips from episodes no one's ever seen. It's what they're doing this year instead of interdimensional cable.
Hey, Ron, what'd you think of this episode?
I like this episode. It's funny because I remember, I'm pretty sure we recorded a podcast contemporaneous with season three where I mentioned I was slightly bummed that we didn't get an interdimensional cable. That like, I understand Morty's Mind Blowers was kind of like a semi-replacement for that, but like, it lacked as like zany anything could go quality of interdimensional cable. And then when you see like a little fragment of House Hunters at the end where they're actually actually hunting mobile houses, like some kind of demented Hal's Moving Castle Safari, like I ache to get more interdimensional cable. But once I gotten over that and I've seen this many, many times, it is fun to see kind of like Rick and Morty based madness that's not tethered necessarily to any sort of continuity. There's a lot of solid skits in here. I really like the take on like Contact.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jodie Foster's somebody in Contact and just uses him to take advantage of him. There's a lot of really funny skits, individual things. What did you think?
I love watching these episodes, Interdimensional Cable, the Morty's Mind Blowers. I don't know what the fuck to say about them other than wasn't it funny when?
Yeah.
Which, oh my God. Can I erase that? Can we have Jim and Aaron's Mind Blowers where we erase the memory of having done this podcast? Because I feel like this is not going to result in a good one, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, there is a little bit of meat here to talk about, but yeah, we can talk about our favorites. Like my favorite, for instance, is True Level.
Yeah,
I really, really love that one.
And True Level's good.
It's amazing to me. We'll talk about it later in the commentary, probably. But these commentaries are teaching me that Ryan Ridley is actually an essential part of this show because his line, like lambs to this cosmic slaughter, is what really makes that one for me.
Yeah. Have you seen Community?
Some of it.
Because I thought this was interesting because this is a very similar to the joke where Donald Glover's character Troy goes into HVAC like trade school. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you get to experience when you're inducted into the hallowed fraternal order of the HVAC technicians is you can experience what room temperature actually feels like.
Okay.
Like, and like Donald Glover's like, it's like, I can't tell where I end and the air begins. Yeah. And it's very, very similar to this joke of like, you know, if you could experience True Level, that it's some kind of groundbreaking, life-changing experience.
Yeah. It destroys your mind.
So what do we learn from the central framing device? Because this is, to me, just a furthering of the story of the alienation between Morty and Rick. That, like, you know, Morty had, like, the beginning of the season, he still looked up at his grandfather, but he's kind of seen him as, like, a dangerous thing that could maybe hurt him and his family. But as he's appreciated like how selfish he is, especially through the lens of his own mother's selfishness and how much like Rick she is, he's gotten more and more kind of disenchanted with how his grandpa rolls. The thing is like all the character development that does happen this episode doesn't matter by the end because
it's all wiped away.
They get all wiped out with a recent backup. And that was super cute. I liked the moment with Summer. I like how Summer just plays this so cool as a cucumber with like the popsicle in her mouth, and she's smoothly going about all these like apocalyptic procedures.
Scenario three. Oh no, it's scenario four.
Oh wow, scenario four, Grandpa. Yeah. But Yeah.
I just have a lot of questions, though, when I look at the central device of this. Like, okay, they explain sort of what the blue ones are and what the purple ones are and what the red ones are, but there are green and yellow ones.
And yeah, the pink ones.
Which also intrigue me. Uh-huh. I wonder, since Rick can edit these memories, how much of them are actually real.
Right.
Why Rick would keep the red ones around.
Yeah.
You know, what perverted, weird fantasies is Rick living out in this room with this helmet and Morty's memories? Just a lot of weird things. Also, rediscovering yourself through your old memories,
uh-huh,
and all the ones you wanted erased. So your whole self-identity is now just things that you think are awful about yourself. What
or
kind of
awful
warping?
About the other, or awful or embarrassing about the other
person.
Yeah,
which has an extreme effect in this episode, definitely.
Yeah.
But like, what would that do to you? It might have you trying to kill yourself by the end of this.
No, I thought that's the thing that I thought was really funny is their suicide pact at the end.
I don't quite understand it, though. Like, I don't know why Rick is on board with this.
I think it's... I don't know either, other than it's super funny for, like, Morty to be like, yeah, I don't know what's what. I just know that, like, our head's full of this shit, and I don't want to do it anymore. And and Rick's just like, hey, I like your energy, and I'm caught up in it, so fucking let's do it. Murder,
and
suicide.
And I suppose he has no identity of himself at that point. So, yeah. Like, he's just kind of latching onto the first thing that presents itself.
Yeah. Or like, all he knows is the Man in Black 2 is a joyless cash grab. So it's like, I think that's funny
this
too.
This sort of
like
inverts the relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what memories survive a mind wiping? Like, mm-hmm, you've like, Rick has a basic operating system. He understands the English language. He understands he's a conscious person. But he also has the memory of Man in Black 2, but not Men in Black 1. I don't know. Let's go out together, you old son of a bitch. I thought it was pretty funny. But it also, again, and probably by design, like, mm-hmm, you know, the way that people framed it is that this is like a clip show for episodes you've never seen before. It's probably best to have it like being able to wipe the continuity.
Yeah, because there is some weird stuff around the edges that maybe we'll talk about coming up here. But like, yeah, you don't want all of these things to sort of stick with our characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they fundamentally change the way they perceive themselves.
Yeah.
If Morty makes it out of this, if he doesn't, inspire this suicide pact, and he makes it out with these memories, he's a completely different Morty.
Sure.
Than the Morty we know.
Mm-hmm.
And you might argue then that we're different than the Morty we should know, if it weren't up to Rick. I just, the question that stuck with me is, what is Rick doing with these memories?
Yeah.
Why? Like, and one of the things that I think leads, sort of lends like a little bit of an explanation is in that menagerie thing, that Jodie Foster contact skit, he's talking about, you know, the concept of a menagerie, right? And the collection aspect of it. And he says something which is pretty fucked up. He tells Morty that he'll understand it when he's still dating into his 40s, which is... weird on a lot of levels. But I wonder if that isn't what Rick's doing, like collecting some sort of like memory menagerie. But to what end? Like, none of these are his memories. None of them are.
The answer is, it's like this. That's the conceit of the episode, because I'm trying to think if he's got like some kind of like, he's got mathematical equations explain how his grandkids are equally pain in his ass. Is this part of his study? Is this how, like, you know, he'll remove the information from Morty's head for whatever agenda, because it makes Morty more comfortable, because he wants to maintain this perfect, because that's the thing, is like, you know, we've heard several times many people bemoan that like Rick is never wrong, whereas this, we find that Rick's wrong plenty. It's just that he's also not only super intelligent, he's also stacking the deck by removing any time that you can remember that he's ever been wrong.
Are they trying to do something meta with that and telling us your perception of Rick is wrong?
Obviously.
Your perception of Rick is blinded to the truth of Rick?
Like, you're literally getting only the good parts of a character who you could describe as a sociopath or a psychopath.
Well, I thought maybe more of a meta to like the fans who idolize Rick, right? Telling them, look, you're viewing one aspect of Rick and running that to its conclusion and embracing it.
Yeah.
You are completely ignoring the other parts of Rick that make him terrible.
Mm-hmm. I think that even though that this episode, the continuity kind of gets wiped, we do learn some things about Rick and Morty and their universe. For example, the one of the most startling information we learned is that Beth has a very clear preference of her children.
Yes, it's summer.
Yeah, like I think that's... Like, because, you know, it's always like Sophie's choice is like, if you have to choose between your children, one lives, one dies, like, how do you even make that choice? It's so agonizing. And just, she's just instantly, oh, no, it's summer, for sure, summer. I don't know what the fuck to do with Morty. Morty scares me. Like, what does that mean? And I also love how, like, at first, the reaction of the of Morty and Summer themselves, like, Morty is looking horrified at his mom, and then, like, Summer's jaw drops, but then she looks at Morty like, oh... It's kind of a sweet moment because, like, Summer actually cares. Like, this is fucked up. I know what I would feel like if I was hearing it in reverse. How is Morty doing with it?
Yeah. Very conflicting emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I also, the other one that really I really tickles me is Morty's interrogation of the alien terrorist. And, you know, Rick having him grab, like, he thinks he's, like, torturing this guy, but he's actually essentially giving him an alien hand job. And when Morty's like, I'm not going along with this, he's like, pretty fucked up, Morty. You'll torture your enemies, but you won't jerk them off.
Right.
What's that say? Like, how bad do you want peace? You're going to stop? I thought that was really, really funny.
How are we better than them?
Yeah.
If we can't jack them off.
Yeah, and it's like, what's funny is, like, all that logic really fucking tracks. Uh-huh. Like, imagine, like, how funny it would be in the context of 24 is, like, if the easiest way to get information out of a terrorist was for like, Jack Bauer to blow a dude. He wouldn't do it. I bet he wouldn't do it.
Probably not. They couldn't show it on television.
No, they wouldn't show it on television, but he can literally shove a towel down a man's throat till it becomes one of his digestive system and rip his intestines out, and it's okay. It is completely fucked.
It is, yeah.
I
appreciated all the references in this one. There are a million of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just Jodie Foster and Contact. It's Ghostbusters and Star Wars and... Everything you can think of is in there at some point.
There's also some really clever jokes about, like, in the memory where Beth declares Summer her favorite child, Rick apologized for being late because he got confused of which planet of Saturn he was on. He's like, hello, Saturn. After 10 moons, maybe you should go with numbers instead of names. And then two mind blowers later, he kills the Tauntaun kind of stand in because he thinks he's on moon 9 instead of 7. It's like, yeah, Rick just doesn't. He can't keep his mind together enough to not be scatterbrained on this stuff. So I think that was really fun too.
Maybe the most fucked up one is the whole enchilada, where they this floop floopian comes to them and says, I want to be killed by a great warrior so I can go to my version of heaven. And Morty sort of convinces him that, you know, he might not have the evidence he thinks
right.
He does for a god existing, or the afterlife anyway. And then the guy ends up running in the street, getting killed by a car, and goes to hell.
Yeah. It hurts. I blame you. I blame you.
Yeah, that is super fucked up. But also, Rick acknowledges, oh, well, I guess that's pretty strong evidence his religion was real. What does that do to your sense of religion or the universe if you're Rick? Do you start believing in their religion? Is there a concept of, like, a religion that only applies to certain beings, like a god that is only associated with floopians?
Well, it's interesting because it reminds me of, like, listening to Dan Carlin's history of, like, the Mongol Empire. And he mentioned that, like, one of the things that allowed the Mongol Empire to be so big is that they didn't insist on people converting to their religion because their religion was based on the mountains, the Himalayan mountains, and worshiping those as gods. And they're like, why the fuck would anybody worship gods that, like, you know, our gods are in the mountains. You guys are living on the plains. Like, you got your own fucking gods. Do whatever. Obviously, our gods are better because we kicked y'all's ass. But you can keep worshiping your weak-ass gods if you want.
Yeah,
that's fair. And I wonder if, like, it's that kind of situation where, like, even if there is an afterlife, they only give a shit about flip-floopians or whatnot.
Yeah.
But, like, you'd think that Rick would investigate that because if you can have an eternity of orgasmic bliss, I'm not saying Rick wants to check out any time particular, but maybe immigrate to that planet, adopt its religion. The problem is, you have to get super circumcised.
Yeah.
To be a part of that religion.
Man.
So you know what I'm talking about.
You're castrated.
Yeah. It's full twig and berries, all gone. Smooth as a Ken doll. That's the price of admission.
Temporary super circumcision for eternal bliss. I think I'd make that trade.
What makes you think it's temporary? No, that goes into afterlife. You're smooth as a Ken doll. Well, then how am I getting eternal bliss?
Everybody knows you can't have eternal bliss without a dick. Come on.
Especially orgasmic bliss. But all jokes aside, I'm on Morty's side. Like, this guy, he just didn't study. He's like a Christian not reading his Bible. Like, have you literally never seen anyone from your species die?
Yeah. No, it should be immediately obvious. You either go up or you go down. Although, it's something visible that happens.
Although we didn't see the orgasm. Maybe orgasmic just looks like natural death. It's only when people sin that the demons come out and just maybe everyone on the planet.
Still.
Yeah.
Like, cause and effect here. Oh, they sinned and they went down.
They didn't sin
and nothing happened to them. I'll take the nothing happened versus the drag to hell.
Also, you're right. It's not just personal virtuosity or... It's also, you have to be killed by a great warrior.
Right, it's like a Valhalla.
So if you're on a planet and you just trip or slip in your bathtub and break your neck, you're getting drugged down to non-orgasmic hell.
Yeah, they don't use... Are you kidding? They don't have smooth surface bathtubs on that planet.
No, it's a warrior. It's a warrior planet.
They've got fucking Velcro bathtubs with Velcro bath shoes that they use so they will not fall over.
Yeah. So the other skits there, I actually really like the... flipping the light switch. That's very relatable. Like, you know, back when I used to work tier one tech support, the bane of your existence is, all right, so click on this box and you hear click, click, click. Okay, where the fuck are you now? Because I don't know where you're at. You're supposed to click one thing, you just click three things. Oh, your computer's formatting? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that's what the stakes are like ultimately. Like, Rick's just got a switch in his garage that if you accidentally flip it off, it kills a whole room full of people.
On another planet?
Yeah, maybe another dimension. Like, what? What the fuck?
And then there's a second implied switch that does something further.
Sure.
Once Morty gets, you know, he flips another switch to get a shovel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? I like the squirrels running the planet to such an extent that, like, if you piss off the squirrels, it's like a full-on Cronenberg disaster.
Yeah.
Which, interesting implications for the timeline of Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other, because at the end they come fast and furious. The one I thought was interesting is Mr. Poopy Butthole proposing.
Okay, yeah.
When the fuck did that happen?
I mean, at some point in Morty's past, we don't know.
Hmm.
They killed Santa. Interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, I don't know. Because the other thing is, like, I don't know how serious you're supposed to take this from a continuity perspective and with all the different dimensions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Rick's ever trade mind blowers with each other? Like, is this some kind Rick's of bootleg
market
of like, oh, wait, what do you see this boner Morty did? And then they're like passing them along.
Yeah, for sure.
They're definitely passing around the Jerry's mind blowers.
Yeah.
I love the Jerry's mind blowers because it's clearly just a cruder version of Morty's technology. Like, the helmet
is like
just
an 8-track tape stuck in
there. And it's like duct taped on this stupid bicycle helmet. Like,
oh, you don't need all that tech to encompass Jerry the being. Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. Like, what is it being said there with this like lo-fi reproduction of Jerry's memories? It doesn't seem like, it's not like the memories are coming across any less quality.
No.
I mean, he's still Rick, even if he's given him a second-rate helmet, it's still going to work 100%
A man who fell for a simulation that was operating at 1% or 5% of capacity, whatever it was.
That's true.
He's not the brightest bulb.
Yeah, what else do we want to talk about?
There's a heavy metal version of the Rick and Morty theme over the end credits, which I thought was kind of cool.
Why?
I don't know.
They draw attention, not to get a little ahead of ourselves, to VM77, but they draw attention to that in the commentary. But
they don't really explain it.
Yeah.
It's more just like, yeah, that's there. Weird.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell you. There is a... So one of the things I noticed in the Santa thing, which I found strange, because I freeze-framed all these to really get a good look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're burying Santa, they've got Rick's ship over to the side, and the trunk's open. There's like a note taped inside to the top of the trunk. Mm-hmm. And I went on the Wikipedia or the fandom page, and I was trying to see if anybody had mentioned that. Nobody had.
Huh. Maybe it's like it inconclusive.
It seems clearly left by Santa, but there's just a bunch of squiggles on it. You can't actually read anything.
I saw that someone speculated that this was Rick and Morty burying the Santa Claus that got murdered in the
homeless guy who blew up around the planet.
No, there was like a Santa Claus in a birthday party.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the Slime World episode.
Okay.
The rest and relaxation. Yeah, the detox mm-hmm. episode. That they're trying. This is like a tiny slice of them cleaning up all the messes that they made and their toxic cells made.
But, yeah, Rick's not really a clean it up type of guy.
Yeah, and it's certainly not like maybe he'll wholesale clean up like with some kind of magical device. Yeah. But like the fact that he would go and just find everybody and bury them out in the desert or something like that seems like a lot of work.
Yep.
And then the dark question is like, where else would the Santa come from? Like, what circumstances would lead them to murdering a mall Santa or a Salvation Army Santa? I mean, we've already seen Rick murder another homeless version of Santa, so who knows? After this short break, we'll be back to talk to comedian, writer, and podcaster Ify Wadue, the host of Who Shotcha on Maximum Fun and Nerdeficent on iHeartMedia about the trouble with interdimensional shifting. We'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, time for housekeeping, and guys and gals, I'm not going to lie, there's just too much good TV to keep up with right now. Too much for any one human to keep up with, yet we valiantly try. If you want to keep up with any of these, just search for the show name wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. We Do is our Watchmen podcast. 2 weeks in, it's been a total delight. We're giving it the full treatment, instant live take and talk podcast for club members on Sunday night, and a full podcast with recap and analysis each Tuesday. On our podcast, 2-Bit Encryption, we're covering the twisty and turny final season of Mr. Robot, the world's premier show about hacking, mental illness, and social alienation. Full podcast recaps every Wednesday. On American Horror Story Podcast, we are covering season 9, the 1984 season, comes out every Friday morning. Don't look now, but this week is the Halloween episode, almost guaranteeing a banger. Cecil and I are also doing our Cinema Spooktacular. It's our third annual. The first two episodes are out. The third episode will drop on Halloween Eve this 30th, this Wednesday. Cecily and Alexis of Pin Y fame will be covering his Dark Materials on Bald Move TV starting on Monday, November 4th. But you don't have to wait now. You can download their coverage that they began last week with a review of the 2007 Golden Compass movie. Finally, if you're in the mood for spooky stories to tell in the dark, check out our newest feature, Lunch with Jim and Aaron, Reheated. This is where we release our 5-year-old club member only lunch podcast for everyone to enjoy. This Thursday, we have the classic lunch where Jim and I turn off the studio lights and tell spooky stories from our childhood. Can your spine handle the tingle from the tale of the church on Joppa Road? Check out this week's Reheated Lunch and find out. Once again, if any of those sound good, just search for the show name wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can find them all on baldmove.com. Joining us now is comedian, writer, and podcaster Ify Wadue. You can hear him as the host of Who Shotcha on Maximum Fun and Nerdificent on iHeartMedia. Ify, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I already fucked it up. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm glad to be here. That's all. So it really wasn't that important.
Appreciate you having on. Something we ask everybody that steps into the podcast booth with us is what your personal history with Rick and Morty are. Are you like fan from day one? Did you hear about it between season one? What's the details?
Oh, yeah. I was a D1 fan, day one, and also Destiny 1 fan of the show. Yeah, it's like I wasn't like from the premiere, I think halfway through the first season, when it was getting some buzz, I was like, all right, let me see what this thing everyone's freaking out about is. And I just got hooked from there. So I was just waiting patiently for season two and then three. And now, we're waiting again.
You got me excited there for a second. You said you were day one and I was like, oh, we did it. We found Patient Zero, the person who went on the internet and told everybody else about Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, I'm day 1.5. Okay. Because it just like blew up. It was this thing that everyone was, and then my friend group and everyone online was really just tripping out about. So I was like, all right, I got to check it.
It's like the opposite of Destiny. Destiny, the game comes out and everybody's like, shit's on it. And then there's a core group of dedicated people that just can't get it out of their system. Whereas, you know, Rick and Morty is like everybody loving it. I'm trying real hard. You're baiting me in here. If you'd turn this into a Destiny podcast, we just can't do that. We shared our mutual love of Destiny before the pod. We got to stay on focus. What's your favorite episode of all time?
Oh man, I think my favorite episode is I'm trying to like. It really is going to just be the Rick Lantis mix up because they like left that like breadcrumb of evil Morty. And then the big reveal and the politics of, you know, the Citadel were just so fun to kind of explore and see the ground floor of the Citadel. And it just kind of crescendos into this big reveal at the end that was like pretty baller. So that is my favorite of all time. So, you know, most current, you know.
Isn't it funny because like part of what's great about Rick and Morty is how random and weird and crazy it is, but it seems like what really sticks with the fan is like those brief flashes of blessed continuity. Oh my god, there's something bigger building here. It's so exciting.
Oh yeah, because it's so fun because it's kind of like in a way random in itself because you have this kind of organized chaos that you're like, okay, you never know what to expect. It's going to be a new kind of encapsulated episode, and then you get this continuation of something that you not vaguely, but you remember from earlier, and you're like, oh no, we're going back on this ride. So it's like when you go to a theme park and you're trying out different rides, but you have like a ride you really like and you revisit that one. And you're like, oh yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. It's like, it does definitely, I don't think you have to watch Rick and Morty that closely, but it seems like the more you do, the better the reward.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Plus you can flex on everybody on, you know, the internet. If you can catch that, you know, your pet theory is a little bit sharper than theirs. So,
oh yeah. I know, it's so funny because I feel like the Rick and Morty fandom has so many different like subgroups. Like you have like the smart guy, you know, cult, and right. You have like the, you know, like the We're So Random / Deadpool side. Uh-huh. And then you have like just your like TV fan who thinks they're better than, you know, we're bringing everyone together.
Yeah, indeed. It's what we need nowadays. What'd you think of this particular episode, Morty's Mind Blowers?
Oh, I loved it. Mostly because I like the kind of clip show, you know, type episodes. Like, what was the different channel episodes?
Yeah, the interdimensional cable.
Yes.
Yeah. So like anything like that where we kind of break from format and we just get, because the... you know, as a writer, I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's hilarious. Cause this is just like, all right, what are the funniest, how many funny ass jokes can we fit in this versus like, okay, let's have the cohesive story, which this one still does have like a kind of through line, even though it is like joke after joke after joke, which makes it even more sweet.
Yeah. I'm always impressed with how they kind of managed to build a backbone into those episodes. Cause like the first interdimensional cable, you sort of get the Beth and Jerry story, mm-hmm. like the alternate reality version of them. And then you get, you know, Jerry and his penis implant in the second one.
Yeah.
They managed to hang a lot of those jokes onto something bigger. And I always appreciate that.
Let me ask you this. If you had to choose only one for the rest of the seven seasons we're going to get, interdimensional cable each season or Morty's Mind Blowers each season?
Ooh, that is a hard one. I'm just gonna have to go with interdimensional because it just you can, it just blows out so far where, like, you know, Morty's Mind Blowers are great because we explore, you know, the relationship between Rick and Morty.
Right.
But with the Interdimensional, we get like just wild new characters.
Yeah, there's no rules.
Yeah, there's no rules. And I do love like the moments you can kind of hear them breaking and you're like, yep, yep, this is what it's all about. Just yeah. making each other laugh.
Yeah, it'd be so much fun to be in that writer's room.
Oh, yeah.
So we talked about the brief flashes of continuity that we get. Some of them are important, some of them maybe not so much. There's one in this episode where, you know, in the lore of the show, when Rick Cronenberg's up the world and was that Love Potion number 9 or Rick Potion number 9?
Yep.
And he says, explains to Morty that they can only jump to, you know, very closely related parallel dimensions only so many times before they use up other opportunities. And apparently that they heavily imply that they do this to flee a squirrel based apocalypse. Yeah. Do you think that we actually jumped dimensions again? Is that something that we're supposed to pay attention to? Should we care? Because I know you like the lore, you like the continuity. What's your ruling on that?
Yeah, I feel like the way that, you know, the writers in the show has like sprinkled in lore, that is a huge possibility. They are real good at like doing things that you think are just throwaway moments and it just kind of comes back, you know? And so like when they got, I forgot which episode it was, but they got lost and they were able to get a portal gun from the dead Rick in like stuff like that, where you're like, oh yeah, they were able to go back, pick up that breadcrumb and throw it in the current story. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually see this squirrel apocalypse when we revisit these old dimensions.
All right.
I feel like sometimes they even write, you know, things that they don't think they're going to use. And then they come back later and they use them, yeah. Right. They realize, oh, we got this thing that we wrote a season ago. Maybe we should do something with that.
Yeah. The show's got so much like plot texture that you can stick things on that, like, you know, they're just doing it to provide the texture, but that, you know, you can really stick stuff on that. I want to show, so there's a couple, I was eavesdropping on a couple nerd debates on the internet about this episode, and I want to run some evidence for and against this being something impactful.
Why were you spying on me?
Well, I noticed you know, I was over here talking with my squirrel pals, and you're too interested.
Yeah.
You're too interested. So I had to do some reconnaissance. So in this episode, Rick removes the memory of Morty causing the squirrel apocalypse that they have to escape. And that's a traumatic memory, right? Yeah. But he didn't remove the Cronenberg memory from Morty. So is that compelling evidence for or against this actually being a real? I mean, I think it's a definite real memory, but is that for or against evidence that's going to actually impact the plot? If it's something neither Rick nor Morty will remember, what do you think?
I feel like that is a strong, like, that is, I think, too cool of a concept to like leave on the ground. Like, yeah, we, you know, Rick and Morty are on the same plane in this where they both have forgotten. So yeah, why wouldn't this impact like further episodes? That's one thing I didn't consider as well, is like, yeah, why did we keep the memory of the Cronenberg universe?
What about this? So another angle people had is, how do we know that these Morty memories are from this Morty? What if what if the majority of these memories are from the Rick and Morty that are rotting out in the backyard?
Well, welcome to the podcast, Iffy on the Spot.
I mean, but these are dope questions, and I think that's very true. This could be a different Morty's memories, but I think the kind of whole style of the episode is what makes that not matter as much, you know, because it is just kind of like revisiting all these things.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. But I think that does make a case for an argument of like the impact of this episode not being as strong if this is like the other Morty's memories.
Yeah. I think my, because now that we've done this for, covered all three of these seasons and, you know, I paid a lot more attention to it and doing it like as a job than just, you know, as a hobby. I think that like with all the different dimensions and potential ways you can mess with like timelines and it's almost like, I like paying attention to all these details because when they become relevant in later seasons, you're like, ah, I get it. But like, there's so it's like they can explain around why it's not important. They can explain why it is important. And it's like, you know, it's just makes you just have to be steeped in the history so you can appreciate the times when it's important, you know?
Yeah. I think I tripped across the nerd debate that you found because it said note that Rick removes the memory for escaping the squirrel controlled world, but not, and this is bold, Cronenberg world, which is arguably in bold again, far more traumatic. This might strongly suggest an alternative Rick Morty pair in this episode.
Yeah.
Squirrel. Yeah. Okay.
You can, you've cracked the code.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about, say about this episode, or we got to?
This episode I find I like it because I think essentially like Rick and Morty is crescendoing in a fun way where like it seems like this season had a lot more kind of weight added to the, you know, perceived canon. So like I do hope that we, and it also makes me wonder what the season 4 version of this is, because this replaced the universal the interdimensional remote episode. The interdimensional cable. So I wonder if we're going to revisit or we are going to find some more mind blowers, which if we do follow the fact that like these aren't every, like this isn't the Morty that we're with memories, then that would be fun exploring this again and just seeing how different it was, or if we revisit some of the ones we saw in this one and they're slightly different because it's with a different Morty.
See, I was thinking that would be, because if they wanted to go full Gonzo, like interdimensional cable style, but still in the framework of a Morty's mind blower, they could just make it obvious that this is a different set of, like, go with the Cronenberg Rick and Morty's, or go with the Morty's that got a head looks like a hammer, and just see what their mind blowers are. So that way you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter because it's obviously not our Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then you'd be able to you could just have the craziest stuff happen.
Yeah, or if they do make a big deal about them jumping to another dimension, have when they do Morty's mind blowers that season, have a big point about like, these aren't our mind blowers, well let's just kind of like see what these other fools are up to.
Yeah, you could even have a tour of a whole bunch of different, like Rick could take Morty around to different dimensions, like digging into the vault of a different Morty.
Or it's like we were talking about this in the main part of the cast. Like you got to think that in the Citadel, Ricks are trading these like mixtapes.
Right.
Like look at what fucking Morty did. Look at this. Yeah. And they have Jerry mind blowers. Like look at what Jerry did. It's like they're probably mass screenings of new ones. You know, like famous. Like are there like influencer Ricks that have like YouTube
that
channels
so
that they just
fun.
Post? Yeah,
I love that. Now I want to see it.
It's like you could have Rick's memories as like the blackmail material, right? The red ones are the ones that Rick doesn't want anybody
to
see.
Right, the Rick boners, sure. anything else we want to say?
I'm not sure.
Did we ask what your favorite skit was? Your favorite?
That's a good one. What's your favorite mind blower?
Oh, it's the where the torture one because it's so fun, and that's like my favorite bit is the old like, oh, you thought you were hurting him, but you're really jerking him off. And then that line too of like, if we don't jerk off someone for information and we are only killing people, what makes us different than them?
Because
Rick kind of has a point.
It's a real thinker. Mm-hmm. It's another take on a gulag or a Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Like less waterboarding, more jerking off. It might actually yield better information. I think that was my favorite one too.
Yeah.
Iffy, thanks for coming on the show. If people want to catch up with you on the internet and engage in nerd debates or what have you, where'd they do so?
You can find me at Iffy Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram. And NFTs on Twitch if you like watching people play video games.
So check it out. Those are all in the show notes as well. And thanks for being on the show. Appreciate having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. Jim, are you ready to once again plot to the future?
Yep.
This is where we tune our portal guns to open Dimension BM77, accessing behind-the-scenes details, trivia, and spoilers for future episodes. Very few left. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have to put our portal guns away in two more episodes. But that's because we're no longer plotting to the future. We are the future.
We're
not gonna need roads where we're going, where we're podcasting, or microphones.
Wait.
We'll have the new MentalNet installed in November of 2019. We can just broadcast with our minds. What do we got to say about the behind-the-scenes stuff on this episode? There's quite a few things.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about things that were sort of left on the cutting room floor. Or I really like the feeling Justin has about revisiting this concept in the future, because I think it has a lot of legs. It's a fantastic idea. And they specifically didn't want to do too much with it. They were like, clip show, let's not do too much connective stuff, not get too clever, let's just hit a joke at the end and get out.
And these seem like it's something that Dan sees as an opportunity to just completely lean into Justin, like to the extent that they just wrote all the skits and they're like, we don't even have the backbone. We don't have the framing device yet. We'll just come up with a bunch of funny skits and then we'll just figure something out. We'll just figure something out. Mm-hmm. But the temptation in the writer's room to, you know, oh, we need to have something in the fourth act of this that reveals and completely blows everyone's mind. He's like, no, in this type of episode, you just need a joke. And the joke is they wipe each other's minds and all this drama is completely wiped away and Summer restores them.
Yeah. And the joke is we're shitting on Summer for missing interdimensional cable, which was what the audience wanted to see.
Right.
Or thought they wanted to see. Yeah, it's good. And I think this leaves the door open to do more with the concept later, which excites me.
So they didn't intend this to be the replacement for interdimensional cable. They meant that they was going to have another episode back when this was going to be a 14 episode season, but because of their production overruns and delays and runovers, that they had to cut it back four episodes to the 10 episode season we have now. There'll be, you know, as we go through, though, there's other places where this kind of impacted the season as well. But I don't know. Yeah, they both seem to be very eager to get to Morty's Mind Blowers too. There's also this concept of Morty. So like what started this concept was like someone had an idea of Morty getting cummed on by an alien called a Nibulons. And they started to go into it, and Justin's like, wait, no. I actually want to come back to the Nibulons and come getting cummed on. And like everyone's just cracking up like...
Yeah, I can't wait.
I hope it's in season four because I can't wait till season five. Like what? First of all, I mean, I don't know. Like what will the Cartoon Network not show? Like 15 years ago in South Park, they showed little boys jerking off a family dog. So like...
I mean, they show Morty getting shit out of a being and getting eaten and shit out.
And they just straight ejaculating on a 14-year-old boy though.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then again,
they showed a 14-year-old boy banging a bunch of older women. So,
and like I said, back in South Park, their kids are playing Red Rocket with the family dog. Right? So like it's the Cartoon Network is pushing boundaries. Mm-hmm. We shall say.
I really hope we see it.
And also Justin's philosophy of like there's this point where they realize they had, you know, scrupulously kept to the rules of, you know, this has to be a memory of Morty's, to the fact that they had jokes built into that, like in the first Moon one, like Summer and Beth are talking about how bad they felt for Morty and why Morty is kind of in the middle distance. And they even made the comment, it's like, you know, how would this be in the memory? It's like, well, you must be able to overhear us. So mm-hmm. They had to remove that line because at some point Justin's like, you know what? Fuck it. This is funny. Who cares? So they just have a throwaway line about, you know, how do I have these memories if I shouldn't be able to have them? And Rick's like, just edit them.
Yeah. Which I feel like kicks open the door to a lot of interpretation about, you know, what's real and what isn't in these memories.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Rick edit out or discard the ones of him looking like an asshole or a dumbass or whatever?
Yeah. I forgot that the alien warrior, the Floop Floopian, was the previous contest winner of their Omaze promotion. This was to help an animal charity. Mm-hmm. We just talked about their charity that they started a couple weeks ago to help autistic children. But I thought it was funny how like it was Dan being the bold one. It's like, let's promise that it's an alien overlord that Rick is going to kill. And Justin's like, that's very specific pitch. Are you sure you want a negric? And then Dan's like, no, we'll get it in there. And you this year's contest was just like, you'll appear as an alien, or you will appear in a Rick and Morty sketch, which could be just literally a still image of you in the background somewhere.
Yeah.
Versus doing, because it did also feel like maybe there was some fear that they'd get a voice person there that they couldn't do any lines. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting that Dan was like hard charging on the promotion thing here.
It worked out, you know.
Was good.
But also like Dan talks a lot about his triumphs in writing when, you know, he talks about, oh, I sat down and I wrote the entire episode in less time than it took you to watch it. Mm-hmm. But in this, he also talks about sort of his failure. Because he says he sat down and spent 4 hours writing the dialogue for one of these squirrels in this episode, and then they ended up scrapping it.
Right.
Yeah, he wasted a shitload of time on a completely throwaway, inconsequential thing.
Two-minute-long monologue about squirrels' domination of the planet Earth.
Right, right. It's like unnecessary. So I like that. I appreciate that he talks about both his triumphs and his failures on there.
There's also the one interesting part, could have been important to the continuity, is one of the many endings they envision was a memory of Morty's point of view as a baby, where Rick portals in the middle of the night and like picks up Morty and holds him and then puts him down, and he leaves just as Summer comes in and she's like a toddler, and you know, Beth and Jerry come in and say, what is it? And Summer says, I saw an old man. And a really funny thing is, like, the artists were really excited because they're going to give Jerry a full-on mullet. Young Jerry's rocking, you know, he's all business up front.
Yeah.
Marketing exec up front, party in the back.
Pickle Me This is distributed by Bald Move in association with Starburns Audio. It's produced by Jason Smith and Scott Porch from Starburns, and myself, Ben Aaron from Bald Move. All music featured on this podcast is from the Rick and Morty soundtrack, available from Sub Pop Records. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To discover the many other great shows we do, please check out baldmove.com and starburns.audio. If you appreciate what we do and want to directly support us, consider joining our club at club.baldmove.com to get access to exclusive bonus audio and video features. Finally, you can follow us on your favorite social media at Bald Move. See you next time.